morning. All right, we should be finished with the eighth parak. We're not. We should be already into the ninth parak. We're not. So let's take care of that. We are still on the topic of charamim. Now you'll remember that charam could be one of two things. Charam can either be a gift, a matana to the kohen, charam a kohen. And so, at which point in time I told you charamim to the kohen is a funny thing. It's a little bit of an oddity. In that, once it gets to the hands of the Kohen, it's nothing. I mean, it's hidden. It's mamon baalim. But until that point in time, before it gets to the hands of the Kohen, while it's in your possession, so it's going to have kedusha. It's subject to the Isser of Me'ila. Mimol behektish by Chemer. And then the other one is Chemer Bedekabais. Chemer Bedekabais is essentially the same thing as being Maktish. It's sanctification, where now it belongs to the possession into the hands of the Bedekabais. And obviously there, even once it gets into the hands of the Bedekabais, obviously then subject to Me'ila. What if you don't specify? So I told you it's a machlokus. We'll see the machlokus later on. If it's Cherme Kohen, so which Kohen does it go to? So this is Rabbi Chiya Bar Abin, and already yesterday we went through the first two statements of Chiya Bar Abin. So he says when it's metaltalin, so if it's movable item, so l'chol kohen shi yirtzeh, give it to whichever Kohen you want. If it's karka, so then the Kohen of the Mishmar, right? Because he learned it out through Xerishav of Gezel Hager. The Sada Yotzeh LeKohan B'Yovel, we are on Chavches Amad Beis, we're about 10 lines from the bottom, from the top of the page, and we're up to the third statement of Ravin. Sada Yotzeh LeKohan B'Yovel, what if the field goes out to the Kohanim, what if the field that goes out during Yovel, meaning in the 50th year, if a field was consecrated and then went unredeemed, so it goes to the Kohanim, that we know. Which Kohanim does it go to? So the Gemara says, Nesunim LeMishmar, Shepagabo Yovel. So it goes to the Mishmar of that Yovel. Now we went over this before, let's remind each other, that in the Yovel year, all lands that are consecrated and they go unredeemed are going to go to the Kohanim, as the Gemara just got done saying, it goes to the Kohanim who happened to be working in the Mishmar during that Yovel. Now Yovel's a year, so we don't mean the whole year, because as we know, the Mishmaros worked on a weekly schedule. Shabbos, a new Mishmar would come in. There are 24, the Kohanim were broken up into 24 groups, and Shabbos, a new group would come in, so Shabbos there would be a change of the shift, and then that group would work in the entire Shabbos for the whole week, right, that Shabbos, meaning week, and then the next week, so we would do a shift. So now, when we say Yovel is going to transfer all lands over to the Kohanim, so we don't mean the whole year Yovel, we mean a day of the year. Now, which day of the year of Yovel we're talking about? So you could argue it's Rosh Hashanah, which eventually we're going to argue, but the better argument would be Yom Kippur. That's the better argument. Why? Because the Torah says, the Pasuk says, that on Yom Kippur, Tavir Shofar Ba'artzechem, that you blow the shofar and you declare Yovel. You declare Yovel to be on the 10th day. It's almost as if in the Yovel year, Rosh Hashanah is moved from the first day of Tishrei to the 10th of Tishrei. So what is that from 1 to 10 in the Yovel year? It's almost like pre-Rosh Hashanah. It's like, I don't know how to put it in halachic terminology, but whatever. In other words, it's not, that's a significant moment. Good. So if Rosh Hashanah, if Yom Kippur of Yovel falls out during the week, all right, so it's pretty easy now to figure out. Meaning, whichever particular Mishmar is working that week, they're the ones who are now going to get that windfall of all that land, all that property that was consecrated and went unredeemed. Wonderful. But the Gemara continues though. Ibayilahu, Pagaba b'Shabbos Mai. Yeah. What if Yovel, Yom Kippur, falls out on a Shabbos? Because there are two shifts that Shabbos. The shift that started the morning and the shift that ended the day. And the changing of the shift is right in the middle of the day. Now, right. This is grounds for a fight. Right? You could definitely see this being a very simple argument. Meaning now which shift should it be? The shift that begins or the shift that ends? I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Abin, Mishmei Dechufana, Nosnala Mishma Hayotzei. So it's the shift that goes out, meaning it's the shift that started the Shabbos, which in this particular case means also started Yom Kippur. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Danina Mihachanim says, Ata Omer, Echad Yovel Ve'Echad Shviz Meshamtim Ke'echad. Elish Yovel B'Tchilasa Ve'Ashmata B'Sofo. You'll have the following bisection, right? There will be a bisection of Shemitah and Yovel. Okay, and now, Before I explain, so the Gemara, let me just read a little bit more in the Gemara just to clarify the language of the statement. Adrabi mishum hachi havai ema mipnei shehayova. Right. The only thing we're going to now change is don't say ella, but rather say mipnei, meaning the two statements go together. Now let me just take a moment to explain this. Shemitah cancels all debts. Right. Agreed. Good. Okay. When exactly does Shemitah cancel all debts? And the correct answer is at the end of the Shemitah year. Meaning you get into the seventh year. Now, for the entire seventh year, you're not allowed to work the land. But the cancellation of debts does not take place until the very end, i.e. the last day of that year, which would be, assuming that there are 30 days of Elul, although usually they're 29. So that would mean then that there are, when you get to that last day of Elul, that will be the cancellation of the debt. Okay. Now, what's the next day? Meaning, the next day is going to be the beginning of the Yovel year. But as we already pointed out, even though it's the first day of Tishrei, that's not really the beginning of the Yovel year. The Yovel year begins really with Yom Kippur, which is not till 10 days later. But this Braisa says very clearly, no. That transition from the last day of Elul to the first day of Tishrei is really the same transition, meaning that Beinu Shmashos is going to be the transition of, it's going to be a coordination, a bisection of the cancellation of loans and Yovel. So the Gemara says, look, I understand cancellation of debt, correct. At the last day of the seventh year, that will be not just the last day, but at the exit of that last day of the seventh year, that's going to be cancellation of debt. Miketz sheva shanim. Ela yova b'tchilas b'yom kippurim u'dichsi b'yom kippurim tarvi shofar b'chalatzachem. But here's the problem. Yovel, even though the year Yovel begins now, but the halachic Yovel is not going to be for another 10 days until Yom Kippur. So Hamani Rav Shmuel ben Osher Rav Yochanan broke hidam and Mershashanu dechal Yovel. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there is a Tana, Rav Shmuel ben Osher Rav Yochanan ben broke, and he says that Yovel actually begins on Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Now here's the interesting part because I looked it up. It comes out now that, and by the way, we paskin that way, meaning the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yishmael. So that means then, just like this Braisa says, that at Beinu Shmashos of the last day of the seventh year, right, going into now the Rosh Hashanah, that will be two things happening simultaneously. Again, we're talking about the year where it's Shemitah going into Yovel, which is, number one, cancellation of debt. Number two is going to be all lands return back to its owner and consecrated lands are going to go to the Kohanim. So why do we blow shofar on Yom Kippur? Meaning, the Pasuk's still a Pasuk. We're still going to be blowing shofar on Yom Kippur. So, and just to make matters worse or more interesting, it's the Torah says that it's when you blow the shofar, everything goes free. So, right, so what's happened, and here the Gemara says very clearly that really everything happens on Rosh Hashanah. So what's happening from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur? Now, this is not my question, and it's not even the Rambam's question, meaning the Gemara asks this question, the Gemara back in Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara says, and the Rambam quotes, and I had a good chance of looking it up yesterday, that for those 10 days, it's like limbo. Meaning, let's say you're an Eved Ivri, for example, right? Right. It's hard to picture this as a piece of property because it's an inanimate object. But let's imagine you're an Eved Ivri. So the Rambam writes, again, it's really the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam writes, so on Rosh Hashanah now, it's Yovel, right? Like we just read yesterday, Avadol La'olam, but La'olam doesn't mean forever. It means up until Yovel. So on the first day of that Yovel year, you're free. But you're not really free, meaning you're not going to go, because the shofar hasn't been blown yet, and the shofar's not going to be blown to Yom Kippur, but you don't have to work anymore. So what happens for those 10 days? So the Rambam writes, and again, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, basically it's like Sheva Brachos, except for 7 days of Sheva Brachos, it's like 10 days of Sheva Brachos, right? You're sitting, you're relaxing, you're enjoying, you're sipping on a drink. The Rambam doesn't write that part. You are, but I'll tell you what the Rambam does write, though. Right, atroseim b'roshehem, meaning you wear a crown on your head. Interesting phenomena from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur.
But you're also blowing the shofar during Yovel every day.
No, but No, that's not shofar. That's, you know, that's minhag, but that's not shofar.
They hear the shofar, they get excited.
Right. Understood. Shamechizkia, but back to the Gemara. Shamechizkia bar biluti v'azal amra kamed rabbi abav v'likshi metalta lekakos. So the Gemara has a simple question, which is, look, didn't we make a hekesh of karka and metaltalin? So, how can Ravin distinguish between the designation of metaltalin versus the designation of karka? Meaning, to review, when it comes to metaltalin, machrim, metaltalin, it goes to whichever coin I want. When it's properties, it's not to whichever coin I want, but rather it is to the coin of the mishmar. How could you distinguish? That's strange. So the Gemara says, Well, remember back to yesterday's daf, it was machlokas. Some make the hekesh, some don't make the hekesh. So Ravin subscribes to the view, you don't make the hekesh. Charme kohanim ein lahem pidyon. El anosin lekohanim ketruma. Good. Says the Mishnah that when it comes to charme kohen, so there's no pidyon. You don't redeem it. But rather, if I designate anything as cherem, right? Even something as simple as this phone over here. So if I'm machrim anything and it's cherem kohanim, there's no pidyon. I just simply give it to the kohen. It's like truma, right? Truma, there's no pidyon. You don't redeem truma. Truma is truma, and it will always remain truma. Same thing with cherem kohanim, right? Again, but though it's interesting because even after the Mishnah made that equation, you understand they're really different because truma, once it gets into the hands of the kohen, it's still truma, meaning still has kedusha, right? He can't invite somebody to come over, a non-kohen to come over and eat the truma with him. So the equation that the Gemara makes, it's like truma, not exactly like truma. Cher me kohanim, it's true. Its destination is to go to the kohen, but once it gets into the hands of the kohen, whatever you want. Rav Yehuda ben Beserah Omer, stam charam lam bedek habay, shenemer chol cherem kodesh kodesh Hashem hila Hashem. And here's the machlokas I foreshadowed. I talked about this yesterday. What if I say this is cherem, but I don't specify cherem kohanim, cherem bedek habayis? So stam charamim, who gets it? So as I mentioned yesterday, it's machlokas. So Rav Yehuda ben Beserah says that it goes to bedek habayis in shenemar, and he quotes a pasuk, kol cherem kodesh kadoshim hila Hashem. Good. Seems pretty straightforward. Okay, it'll be like stay hacherem, which goes to kohen. So what do the chachamim do with the pasuk that was quoted by Rav Yehuda ben Beserah? Shechal al kachim kachim v'al kachim kalam. You could be machrim a karban. Now, I will explain, not me. The Mishnah will explain what that means in just a moment, because that doesn't make any sense. Meaning, it's a karban. How can I overlay a karban with a cherem? A cherem is another form of kedusha. Okay, so stay tuned because we'll talk about that momentarily. Machrim adam, not momentarily. We'll talk about it right now. Machrim adam is kadasha bein kachim kachim bein kachim kalim. A person can be machrim a karban. Now, to be clear, how this works. So the Mishnah now will explain. Im neder nosin demehem. Let's say, for example, I have a karban. Now, remember, in the world of karbanos can basically be broken up into two categories: neder versus nedava. Again, these are all voluntaries. We're not going to make such a distinction on a karban that you're chayv to bring. But on a voluntary karban, I could either say a lie, right? It's on me. Remember the basic distinction. Once I say a lie, I'm chayv b'achriyuso. I have personal liability. If I say zeh, it means it's a nedava, meaning that this animal is a carbon, but I have no personal liability. If something happens to this animal, I am off the hook. So now, if I have a carbon which is a lie, which is upon me, which means I have personal liability, to me, the animal has significant value. Because if something happens to this animal, so then I have to pay for the animal. So because there's full recourse on this animal, and that personal obligation is upon me, so now when I say I want to be machrim the animal, what am I being machrim? My personal liability. And therefore I have to pay for, as a cherem, the full value of the animal. The im nedava, now watch this. What if it's a nedava? So what value does that have to me? So the simple argument would be nothing. Meaning, because if something happens to the animal, I'm not personally liable. So from a financial standpoint, what value does it have to me? So without reading further in the Mishnah, you would have said nothing. I would have said nothing. However, there is a bit of value to this animal. How so? Because Nosen es Tova San. The Mishnah calls it Tova San. What we normally say, Tova Sanah. But think about it, though. It's not the regular Tova Sanah that we normally talk about. Regular Tova Sanah is the power of determining which Kohen I'm going to give it to. That's not really true by Karban. I don't decide which Kohen is going to get it. It goes to the Beis HaMikdash. Whoever happens to be working in the Beis HaMikdash is the one who's going to... So what Tova Sanah is there by a Nedava? So Rashi explains, in the Mishnah. Shor ze ola omdim kama adam rotze litem b'shor zel alosa ola alfa pishen rashai. Right. Let's say somebody already was makdish a karban and now made you an offer. Look, I know you're not obligated to bring a karban. I also know that you on your own weren't makdish a karban. But let me ask you this. If I already was makdish this animal as a karban, I'll bring it for you. In other words, I'll give you credit. How much are you ready to pay to get credited for bringing a karban? Okay? In other words, and it's not a chatas, it's not an asham, it's just simply you're going to get credit with bringing a karban. Okay, I guess it kind of depends on how spiritual the person is. I mean, it sounds like a subjective value, but there's still, the Gemara is assuming that that's a value, and so therefore, if I'm machrim a nedava, so now what am I obligated to pay? That value. Okay, now, habachor ben tam ba'im ba'mo machrim amoso. So, if I have a bechor and I machrim the bechor, now bechor is even funnier because bechor, right? The bechor is kedusha automatically, and the bechor goes to a kohen. So, right. So, what am I being machrim? So, ketsa ponim aso omdim kama damar litim bechor zeli nola ben bita ola ben achoso. So, for that, says the Mishnah, there is a value even to bechor because why? Remember, we talked about this back in Bechoros. You can. As a relative, but as Rashi is very clear over here, not, you can't be a Kohen relative. You have to be a Yisrael relative. So let's say you have a grandson who is a Kohen, and you're not a Kohen. And that's very easy to think about. Your daughter married a Kohen. So let's say you have a grandson who's a Kohen, and you go over to somebody and say, I heard that you have a Bechor born in your lot. Would you mind directing that Bechor to my grandson? Right? And then you go into your wallet. I know it sounds like bribery, but this is legitimate. This is legalized bribery. And you say to the Kohen, here, and you reach into your pocket and you hand him a 20 and say, would this help? Okay, legalized bribery. But that's fine. In other words, so even a Bechor has a value in that you can, it can be swayed with money to determine which Kohen it's going to go to. So everything has value. Even Karbanos have value. Financial value, real financial value. And so if I'm machrim, even a karban, that value now, I'm on the hook, I'm obligated to give to the Beis HaMikdash.
So the bechor would be out of the counting process here?
No, different story. It has Kedusha automatically, just for being the firstborn. Tanu Rabbanan, Chermi Kohen, Mainland Pidgin, Nosin LeKohen. We start now with the Gemara. We're in Chaf Tesam and Aleph, the very top. So, Chermi Kohanim don't have Pidjom, and Osan Kohen, Charamim, Kozman, Shehim, Bebais, Balam, Harehein, Kehektish, Chol Divrehem. Okay, I've been mentioning this halacha already a number of times, but here the Gemara says it outright. It's a Braisa. While you still have it, meaning, prior to you giving it to the Kohen, it is Hektish. It is like anything that you dedicate to the Beis HaMikdash. But the moment you give it to a Kohen, okay, it's so interesting. Meaning, how do you understand this? The simple answer may be we don't have to understand it. Meaning, that's the halacha. The halacha is that it's kodesh while it's in your possession, but once you give it to the Kohen, it loses its kedusha. But still, in other words, we like to, in general, we like to organize. Meaning, is it fundamentally chulin? Is it fundamentally hektesh? It's hard to really conceptualize what happened when I handed something over to a Kohen Cherme Cohen, I hand it over to him. Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, Omer, Stam Cherme Labedek Abayis Mishlama, Rabbanan Kedekam Mefarshatam, Ma'ayuvatam with the Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. Look, our Mishnah did a great job in terms of explaining, according to the Chachamim, what do you do with both Psukim? So from the Chachamim standpoint, the Mishnah already covered both. Ela, Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, Hai Kesteh Cherem I Avid Lay. But for Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, the Mishnah never explained what does he do with the Pasuk of Steh Cherem, he buy Lelech HaDetanya. Kesteh Cherem Lekon Tiyach, who's a Soma Atam Alamer, Minayin Lekoin, Shehitish Steh Charmo. Let's say the Kohen got a Sad Cherem. He got a field which was chairimed by somebody else and given to him. And now he says, you know what? Let me be machdish this field. Shalo Yomar. Now, here could be his thought process. Again, we've seen this already a number of times. Kohanim have, and we're not going to overgeneralize, but we'll generalize. Kohanim end up rationalizing. Right? I shared with you the example in Shkalim where the Kohanim said, I don't need to give a shekel. The machdish is a shekel. Because I can't. And the Mishnah Shkalim goes through the justification. And here, if he has Cherem property, and he's makdish the Cherem property, so his argument could be, well, you know what? I get to keep it. Why? Hova yosel akonim v'hari tachas yadi te'eshali v'dinu b'shal ha-Cherem anizoch b'shal ha-Tzmi lo kol shekein. If I'm getting other people's properties who are makdish, so if I'm makdish my own property, don't you think I should be able to entitle to it? It's a fair argument. It's not a bad argument. It's not unreasonable. So the Pasuk says, no, Steh HaCherem is coming to tell us that, no, that when you have a property that was mukdash by a Kohen, that's it. It goes into the hopper. And it will land on whoever Mishmar it is during that Yovel. Right? Sometimes the Torah sounds like we're trying to learn something to Steh HaCherem, and meanwhile we're learning something from Steh HaCherem. Makish Steh HaCherem lo Steh Achuza Asher Yisrael. Ma Steh Achuza Asher Yisrael. Yotze mitachas yadom eschalakas l'kohanim. Av Steh HaCherem lo Yotze mitachas yadom eschalakas l'achav ha-kohanim. Just like when a Jew is makdish his property and it goes unredeemed, it now goes into the hopper and is divided amongst the Kohanim of the Mishmar. Same thing if a property was owned by a Kohen. Same story. Now, v'idach, mecherem hacherem, v'idach cherem hacherem l'mashmalei. And then the Gemara finishes up its bookkeeping. Meaning, the Chachamim agree with that point. They learn it from cherem hacherem, the additional hey, and Rav Yehuda ben Becerra l'mashmalei. Okay. He doesn't think that there's another drasha to make from the extra hey. According to Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, the idea that was taught to us by the Mishnah, that I could be machrim even a karban. So where does he generate that halacha from? And the pasuk that the Chachamim used, he already uses that pasuk. So the Gemara says he agrees to that halacha and he learns it from Rabbi Shmuel. Which Rabbi Shmuel are we talking about? We don't know yet because it's the last Mishnah of the Perek, which we'll get to in just a moment. Amarav halacha Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. Now, who is the halacha follow like? Meaning, remember now, the question was, Stam Cherem. I point to an item of mine, and I say, this is Cherem, but I don't specify. Cherem Kohanim, Cherem Berak Abayis. So Rav says the halacha is like Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. Okay, remember what he says? Berak Abayis. The Rav Shavik Rabban of Avalek Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Rav Yehuda ben Becerra over here is a Shitas Yachid. Yachid v'rabim, halachik rabim. Strange. So Braisa Ibche, Tanya. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Rav has a Braisa, and in the Braisa, the positions are flipped. Okay. So the Gemara says, but still, Mishnah versus Braisa, right? We know which trumps which. So Shavik Masnisan Vavika Braisa. So Rav Masnisan Nami Ibche, Tani. So Rav's version of the Mishnah was also flipped. Meaning when Rav learned our Mishnah in Erechin, 8th Perek, so Rav learned, Cher Mekonim, Einlan Pijon, El Noslan Konim Ketruma, Divrei Chachamim. Some version like that. So my chaz is to Afchev Masisin, Mekame Braisa, Nafich Braisa, Mekame Masisin. Yeah, but if you're going to invert, wouldn't you rather invert a Braisa rather than start inverting a Mishnah? Rav Gemara Gimire. So the Gemara says, no, because he had a tradition, meaning it wasn't that it was up to him to invert. He had a tradition. So the Gemara says, okay, I got all that. So, but why is he telling you the halachas like Rav Yehuda ben Becerra? Comes out that according to Rav, it's not Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. It's the Chachamim. So the Gemara says, yeah, he could have said that. But he knows that the rest of us, meaning when we're learning the Mishnah, we hold that that position, that Stam Charamim is the Berak HaBayis, we hold it's Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. So for him himself, he holds it's a Chachamim. Good, but he's speaking to us. Right, the people who have our Mishnah inverted—that's us. So for us, he's going to speak in our terms.
That's like a bigger problem because he's teaching a principle that you're going by that yachid.
Right, but he—that's
a bigger
problem. Right, but he subscribes that it's not das yachid. He subscribes.
I know that.
I know you understand.
His point that he don't want to confuse people, but by right. The same token, he's teaching the wrong principle.
Correct. It did take five lines of Gemara to help clarify the matter. It's true. Hahu gavra diachriminu lenichzei. Now, right, nobody asked me this question, but I am going fast, so I kind of understand. But, and I'll say this question, you know, without much sophistication, but who cares? Meaning, I know it's crass, but in other words, we're talking about Cherem, right? What difference does it make whether we hold like Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, we hold like the Chachamim, whether it's Stam Bedeka, whether Stam goes to Bedeka Bais or Stam goes to Kohen, so, but it does make a very real practical difference if, in fact, a person's going to be machrim. Meaning, I point to any object in my home and I say, this is cherem. Okay, so let's go over our possibilities. Number one, we could hold like Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, which is it goes to Berak HaBayis. Now, nowadays, Bezman HaZeh, or we don't even have to say nowadays, we can even go back to the Amoraim. There was no Beis HaMikdash. So now what? And you can't use it because it has Kedusha. So what you have to do now is you have to be Poda. You have to redeem it. Okay, we'll talk about that in just a second. What's my other option? My other option is we follow like the Chachamim. Stam Cherem is to Kohanim. Well, that would apply even nowadays. Meaning all I have to do is just find a Kohen, right? We have a couple here in this room. And but not that it's my option, I have to now give it over to a Kohen. Well, it depends whether it's Metalkalin or Karka, right? That's what we learned in the beginning of today's daf. If it's metalton, you can determine, and if it's karka, so then you have to give it to the mishmar. Now you're right, by the way. If it's karka, it's going to be an issue because there was no mishmar. Okay, good. So it does make a difference now in terms of what you do if you're machrim bizman hazeh. So the Gemara tells a story. Hau gavra da'achriminu lenechse bepumpadisa, living in the town of Pumpadisa, and he actually turns to his possessions and he says cherem. So he now invests it with the Kedusha. Kedusha's Cherem. Okay. Asal kamet Rav Yehuda Amalei. So now he goes in front of Rav Yehuda, and basically he says to Rav Yehuda, now what do I do? And Rav Yehuda's response is, Shkol arpi zuzi v'achal laihu v'shadino b'nahara. So now you have to be poda, meaning it goes to Bedek HaBayis, or it should go to Bedek HaBayis. But we're living in Pumpadisa circa 3rd century, and no Beis HaMikdash. So what you're going to do is you're going to take the Kedusha, transfer it to money, and throw the money into the ocean. And destroy the money, basically. Okay. V'lish daralach, and only then will become permissible to you. So obviously he holds like the opinion of Rav Yehuda ben Becerra, which shouldn't come as a shock to anybody, because this is who we're talking about right now, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda was the student of Rav Anshmul. Okay, so really shouldn't be a shocker. So the Gemara says, "Stam Charon LeBedek HaBayis." Come on, Kishmol Damar Hekdesh Shava Manal Shichul Al Shava Pruta Michulal. So the Gemara says, but notice though, however, how much money did he suggest you use? So four zuz, not a lot of money, 4 pennies. Again, I'm not giving you an equivalency. I'm just giving you an idea of like just you know small change, much less than what it's worth. So the Gemara says, and Shmuel says that you can do that. It works. But Amar da Amar Shmuel Shechil Chatchila Mi Amar. But Shmuel says only Bidiyeved it works. But Rav Yehuda is instructing him. That's not Bidiyeved. That's Lechatchila. We don't rely on Shmuel Lechatchila. So the Gemara says, Hani Mila Bizman Shabbat Mikdash Kayim, the Ikap Seda of Abizman Hazeh, Afilu Lechatchila. So the Gemara says, no. Now, Shmuel's lechatchila halacha, that when I redeem anything that belongs to the Bedek HaBayis, it has to be dollar for dollar. Yeah, that's when there's a Beis HaMikdash. I don't want the Beis HaMikdash to lose. So therefore, obviously, you want to redeem it a dollar per dollar. But nowadays, where the money's going to get destroyed, because there is no Beis HaMikdash, so then you can rely on Shmuel's halacha, even lechatchila, which is that you could redeem pennies on the dollar, which is, by the way, what we do in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, right? Meister Sheni. What do you do with Meister Sheni? You transfer it over to money. Okay, does it have to be dollar for dollar? And the answer is no. What they do in Eretz Yisrael is that when they transfer from the fruit to coins, they just keep using the same coin again and again, and it because it doesn't have to be dollar for dollar. Ihachi afilu pruta nami. So the only oddity now left to understand is, why did Shmuel require four zuz? One pruta would have been enough. So Pirsuma Milsa, so because he wanted it to be a little bit weird, he wanted people to hear about this. Meaning, here's the story when you're a machrim. Amar Ula Yava Yasam Hava Yavina Kula Kohanim. Now, Ula says, you know, if I were the Rav in that situation and that question came to me, I would have directed all the possessions over to the Kohen. Why? Because I disagree. Meaning, this is now Stam Cherem. He didn't say where the Cherem is going to Bedek HaBayis or to the Kohanim. Rav Yehuda, who like his Rebbe Rav, paskin like Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. I don't paskin like Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. I like the Chachamim. Because Rav Yehuda says that it should go to Bedek HaBayis, but because
it isn't, so
then you redeem.
He says it.
But then you just redeem it. Right, for the Kohanim, you don't redeem it. You actually have to give it to the Kohanim. Amaka Savar Ula Sam Charam the Kohanim. Meisve, the Gemara says, challenge you based on a brisa in Eved Ivri Noeg Ela Bezman Shal Yovel Noeg. Shenemar Ashnasa Yovel Yavod Imach. So when it comes to Eved Ivri, he works up until Yovel. If there's no Yovel, there's no Eved Ivri. Vein Stei Acherem Noeg. I guess now, change over here, not Stei Acherem, but Stei Achuza. Okay, it's a correction of the Gemara. Ain't stay achuza no hagas ella bisman shay yovel noeg shenemar viyatsa biyovel v'shav achuza so. And ain't bati arichom noeg ella bisman shay yovel noeg shenemar liyatsa biyovel. Right, a lot of halachas are tied into yovel, and without yovel, there's just simply these halachas don't exist. And Reb Shimon ben Yochai Omer ain't stay charam noeg ella bisman shay yovel noeg. And the Gemara quotes the name of Rashbi that a sadeh cherem doesn't apply when there's no yovel. Shenemar vayasad ebeseis ol yovel karsh Hashem kistei acherem. And Rabbi Shimon Lazar Amar in ger toshav noheg ala bezman shal yovel noheg. So there's no halacha of ger toshav. Now ger toshav does not mean ger tzedek. Ger tzedek is what we would call gerus. That's not what it means. Ger toshav is a resident living in Israel. Right? He's got his green card. Okay, I don't mean that precisely, but you understand. Here, right? But there's a mitzvah, ger toshav, somebody who comes and says, I don't want to become Jewish, but I do want to live in Eretz Yisrael, and I won't be over to Avodah Zarah, so we have an obligation to support him, and give him tzedakah, and help him out. This halacha does not apply when there's no yovel. Now, Amar Abimi, my time, Asya Tov Tov, Ksiv Hache, Ki Tov Lo Chimach, Ksiv Hasam, Tov Lo, Lo Son Anu, it's based on Xer Shava, but meanwhile, the kash is very simple. Meaning, this brisa that we just quoted says that cherem doesn't apply nowadays because there's no yovel. So this question that started the whole discussion, a person who was machrim his field in Pumpadisa, there's no yovel. So why are we having a discussion of, oh, does it go to Bedek HaBayis? Does it go to the Kohanim? I mean, where's the discussion even start? There's no yovel. There shouldn't be a cherem principle. So lokasha habemekarke hamematatale. So the Gemara says, oh, well, the halacha that there's no cherem, that's only by property. Cherem property is connected to yovel, which, by the way, makes perfect sense because, as we learned on the previous amud, what happens to cherem property? It goes to the hopper. It goes to the mishmar, meaning it's connected with the whole process of the Beis HaMikdash. Metaltalin, what do we say metaltalin is like? It's like truma, right? And you can actually choose which coin it's going to go to. So how become makarke? How am I talking? I'm ice to Pumpadisa, but makarke. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the story of Pumpadisa wasn't that by karka. No, so the Gemara says, interesting. Karka de chutz arts kemetatle de eretz yisrael dame. In this halacha, I don't know how general we're going to make this point. But in this particular halacha, properties outside of Israel is like metaltolin. Okay. Right. Finally, just one more Mishnah, one small Gemara. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Kasav Echad Omer, Takdish, Kasav Echad Omer, Lo Yakdish. The Torah confuses us when it talks about the Bechor. On one hand, the Torah says you have to be Makdashit. On the other hand, the Torah says you can't be Makdashit. Iyash Shalomar Takdish Arik Farnemar Lo Yakdish. Iyash Shalomar Lo Yakdish Arik Farnemar Takdish. I'm confused. What happens when I have my firstborn animal born into my pen? Haketzad Makdisho Ata Hektesh Ilui Viata Makdisho Hektesh Mizbeach. You want to give it a Hektesh Ilui. What does that mean? What we talked about in the previous Mishnah. Meaning, although the Bechor is a Karban, I can't reassign it because it's a Bechor. But here's what I could do. I could be Machrim it, which means that now I will be obligated to give what its value is to me. Well, what is its value to me? Again, power of allocation, right? Tov Asana, like we discussed in the previous Mishnah. Now, Virabanan. Now, the Gemara is bothered only by one point, which is the Chachamim already know this, and they learned it in the previous Mishnah from a different pasuk. So, what do they do with the Yaktish Lo Yaktish dilemma? Virabanan, Al Taktish Mi Ba'ele Lelavde. So the Al Taktish is telling me that there's a lav, meaning that if I try to make it into another carbon, I violate a lav. Okay, good. Now, what about the Taktish? What's the Torah trying to tell me over there? You have a Bechor born into your lot, right? You have to point to the animal and say, I want to invest it with Kedushas Bechor. Now, that sounds funny because it's there already. Right. It doesn't sound like you added anything to it. It's a mitzvah to go ahead and to be Makdishan anyway. Shenemar Zachar Takdish. You know what this is very similar to? Although the analogy is not perfect, but it's almost like Shabbos. Right? Meaning, Shabbos is Kadosh Me'elav. When Shabbos comes, right, Kedusha. And still, we have a mitzvah to be Makadish Shabbos. Right? Last week's part, yesterday. Right? Zachor's Yom HaShabbos Kadsho. Right? So verbally, we have to be Makdi Shabbos, even though it already has Kedusha. So similarly, okay, you may not love the analogy, but similarly, same thing with a Bechor. Meaning when the Bechor comes out, it has Kedusha. I still, verbally, have to invest it with Kedusha as well. Rabbi Shmuel, Ilo Makdish Leis Lei, So ilo makdish le lo kadosh kedusha so meirechem hava vekem dechilo ag makdish le kadosh lo tzarech lakdusha. And Rabbi Shmuel says no, it's not necessary. Meaning, what did you add by being makdish an animal that already has kedusha? Okay, and that's why Rabbi Shmuel therefore favors his drasha. Hadron lacha makdish adeu. Okay, that is well. Oh, and that halacha the Bechor. Interesting. No, we know you have to be makdishit. You have to verbally be makdishit. Maybe they like my analogy to Shabbos. Okay, hamocher es sadehu. Wait, hold it. Before we start reading. Okay, we start the ninth parak of Erechin. Okay, I'm in such a rush. We start the ninth parak of Erechin. The ninth parak of Erechin now takes us through the laws of buying and selling property in Eretz Yisrael. Nowadays, what do you need in order to buy property in Eretz Yisrael? You need a lot of money. Okay, I don't know what else to tell you. But in the time where there was Yovel, so there was no buying and selling property ever. It's just somewhat of a misnomer. Meaning because you know that once Yovel comes, everything's returning back to its original owner. Now, going into that, so you know now that when you're buying property, you're not buying, you're leasing property. Okay? And so basically what we're going to be talking about is the formulation of a contract of leasing. Meaning, how do I lease property in Eretz Yisrael? So we'll be using terms of mechira, but just between you and I, it's not really mechira. It's all leasing. Now, one basic rule, which we're going to see a lot of today and tomorrow, is that when you lease property in Eretz Yisrael, so it has to be minimum of 2 years. Okay? Your contract of lease can only be for no less than 2 years. Now, what happens after 2 years? So after 2 years, now the original owner can come and say to you, look, right, I'd like it back. And obviously, he can't just simply take it back from you. In other words, you're going to pay for it based on how many years there are till Yovel. So when he comes back and he buys it back from you, but first of all, he has to wait 2 years, right, as will be clear in just a moment. Number two, obviously, he's got to pay based on the amount of years remaining till Yovel. Okay, well, pretty straightforward. Hamocher es sadeo b'shas ha-Yovel. When Yovel is noheg, eino muter legol pachus mishtei shanem. You can't redeem it less than 2 years. Shenemar b'mismar shnei tvos yimar chalach. Now, 2 years can't just simply be two any years. It has to be two crop years, or at least potential for crop. Meaning, because when you're leasing land in Israel, what do you want to do? You just want the property because you like owning land? No. In other words, the whole purpose of having a piece of property is so that it produces for you, it produces crop. So the Mishnah goes on to say, it has to be mispar shnei tevuos yimachir lach. Haisa shna shidafon v'yirakon shna shviyis eino olam min haminyan. So let's say of those 2 years, one of them was a famine, right? Or one of those years was a Shemitah year. So then that year doesn't count towards the two. So you can't. So you got to wait now another year. Nara o hovira ololom in aminyan. Let's say hovira. Let's start with hovira, even though that's number two. Let's say I bought the year. I bought the land. I leased the land. And 2 years went by, and I just was lazy. So now I can't say to the owner, look, right, I didn't get 2 years of crop. So he'll say to me, yeah, but that's your fault. You were hovira. You let it lay fallow. Now, Nira, the Gemara is going to point out, that's a strange issue, because it means you plowed it, but you didn't plant it. You plowed it, but you didn't seed it. Okay, and the Gemara is going to be bothered. Why did the Mishnah need to tell me that? That seems to be obvious. Olam and Aminyan. So that does count, because that was your own fault. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Machra lo lifnei Rosh Hashanah, v'hi malea peros, harizeh ocham imenu shal shvuos b'shtei shanim. Let's say you buy the land right before Rosh Hashanah, and the seller didn't harvest. And so now you bought a field. And amazing, you didn't do a stitch of work, no plowing, no nothing, and you already now have an entire field to harvest. So how many years now do you get? You could have made the argument, you only get one more year, because you got 2 years of harvest. So what the Mishnah teaches us is that's not correct, that's not true. You still get 2 years, even though you already got one harvest in, even without doing a thing, you still get 2 years. Okay, and the Gemara later on will quote Pesukim. Harei zeh ochel mimenu shtei tvos b'shtei shanim. That means three crops, 2 years. Hamocher sadeh b'shas yovel eino gol lo ketani ela eino muter l'gol. You're not allowed to. Meaning, it doesn't say eino goel. It says eino muter l'gol alma kasaver isura nami ika. Meaning, it's not just that we shouldn't do it. It's that if we do it, there's an isser. Meaning, without an issue, you could have made the argument, okay, look, let's agree. Meaning, I know the Torah says minimum 2 years, shnei tvuos, but let's agree, though, that 1 year, let's buy it back. No, it's not a mamonus issue. It's an isser issue. You can't do it. Da'afilu karkushe zuzein amyasar. You can't dangle money in front of the leaser and say, I know it's only been 1 year, but you wanna part with that land? You can't do that. Okay? And it's not just an isser on the seller, it's an isser on the buyer as well. Neither of them can forfeit the land before 2 years are up. Itmar. Okay, now, deja vu, this is going to sound very familiar because you're going to say to yourself, didn't we have this already? Yes, we did. Back in the seventh parak. But there we had it vis-a-vis being machdish a property. Here now, we're not in Bechu Kosai, we're back in Parshas Bahar. Here we're talking about the sale of a field. How about if I sell a land in the Yovel year? In the Yovel year. Itmar mochis adeo b'shnasa Yovel atzmar rav amar mechur v'yotza u'shmul amar eina mechura kol ikar. Same positions. Rav says that you sell a land in Yovel, the sale is a good sale, and the land rebounds right back to me. Okay, now, I know you can make the argument of Mekach Taos, but let's assume, just for the purpose of this discussion, everyone knows. Why would he be doing that? I'll make a suggestion later on. Okay. I know. Shmuel, however, says, and the halacha falls like Shmuel, Eina mechura kol ikar. No, it's just simply not a sale. It is simply not registered as a sale. The money returns back. The sale is null and void. Because it's Yovel. It's a Yovel year. Now, my time is the Shmuel Kavachom right now. Right? All this should sound familiar. A week ago, we were basically doing the same Gemaras. For a Shmuel standpoint, it's a simple Kavachomer. Ma mechura kvar yorza shena mechura. Eino din shelo timaker. So from Shmuel's perspective, look, what happens in the Yovel year? The land comes back to me. Land that was out of my possession comes back to me. If that's what happens with land that's not in my possession, al achas kama v'kama. What about the land that's already in my possession? Now, from Rav's perspective, that's a good kavachomer. It's sound. And not only that, we use the exact same kavachomer elsewhere in halacha. Second day in a row now, we're talking about the sale of your minor daughter. Torah gives a right to sell your minor daughter, right? The purpose of which is for her protection and to find her a home and hopefully for the purchaser to end up marrying her in the mitzvah of Yi'ud. Okay. What if she exits the stage of being a ketana and now she's a nara? So can you sell her when she's a nara? And the answer, of course, is no. And not only is the answer no, but kavachomer. Amar kavachomer. Ma mechura kvar yotze. Look, if she's already sold, she by narus, if nothing happens, meaning, if her purchaser, if her purchaser's son doesn't do the mitzvah of yiud, she goes free. So if she goes free with her state of narus, so can you only imagine now that she can't be sold at all during the state of narus? Sheina mechura eino din shaloti makir. So that kal v'chomer is employed by the sale of a nara. So Shmuel, sorry, I'm looking at the wrong amora. Rav, why don't you use the same exact kavachomer by the sale of a property during the Yovel year? So the Gemara says, Hasam lo hadra mizdavna, hacha hadra mizdavna. So the Gemara says, it's different. You don't see it being different? Meaning, when we're talking about Bito Kitana, once she gets to a Nara, her stage of Nara, it's over. Your ability to sell her will never come back. It's over. So there you can employ the kavachomer because you understand, that's a solid kavachomer. If you forfeited the right to sell her forever, so for sure when she's an hour, you can't sell her to begin with. But by Yovel, it's not true. Wait one more year. What's going to happen now? You can sell the land. So in other words, it's not a total forfeiture of your rights to sell. In fact, I know that because next year comes, you'll be able to sell again. So it's not the same. Meisvei. Echad Yovel, HaYovel, I'm sorry, Acha Yovel Shanim Tikne. Malami Shemokhrin Samach Yovel. The Torah tells me I could sell immediately after the Yovel year. What if it's not immediately after the Yovel year? Mufalag Mani Yovel Minan Tamalom Lefi Rova Shan Lefi Ma'ata Shanim Vishnasi Yovel Atma Lo Yimkor V'imachar Einu Mechura. And the Braitha says, I could sell any year of Yovel I want except for the Yovel year itself. And the Braitha ends off by saying, and if I sell property during the Yovel year Einu Mechura. It's not a sale. Okay, good. So once again, for Shmuel, everything is fantastic. Meaning that's Shmuel. But again, now we turn to Rav. Amalecha Rav, Eina Mechura L'Mispar Shnei Tvuos, Ava Mechura Hi V'Yotza. Now, when you read that Braisa, here's what you're reading. What you're reading is, it's not a sale for 2 years, but it is a sale. It's a sale, and immediately rebounds right to the original owner. V'Iyaz Duvna Mizdavna Tekem B'Rishuse Ad Barsa Yovel. So the Gemara says, look, if you're telling me it's a sale, so the leaser should get it for 2 years, meaning I know it's Yovel right now, and I know you're not allowed to work the field. But then why don't we just simply suspend it until after Yovel and let him get it for 2 years? Now that's not crazy, and I'll tell you why that's not crazy. Milo Tanya, we learned on a brisa. Achla shana achas lifnei ha-yovel, mashlimim lo shana acheres acher ha-yovel. Let's say you sell a land 1 year before Yovel. Now remember, you have to sell your land for a 2 year minimum. So what do? So 1 year before Yovel, and then rollover minutes. And then after Yovel, you get it now for another year because you need 2 year minimum. So even though, yes, it's true, it's the sale's going to come back to you, but he still...
Why didn't you go back to owner at Yovel then?
He had it for three years.
It's funny. It does, but in other words, but you still have that 2 year requirement. So in other words, he does, that leaser does get 1 more year out of it.
Shmuel holds by that also?
Yeah, correct. So what the Gemara now is bothered by is according to Rav, if the sale is in fact a sale, like Rav is arguing, so then there should be 2 years of enjoyment. So Hasam nachis lachil, achal lo nachis lachil. The Gemara says there's a difference, and the difference is in the case where it was 1 year before he started. In the case of Yovel, never gets off the ground. So the sale goes back immediately. Amar Rav Anan. Shamas minei damar Shmuel tarte. I heard two types of transactions according to Shmuel. Both of those transactions are no. Chadahach, one is what we just discussed. The sale of a property in the Yovel year. The idach, and what about the other one? Hamocher avdolo v'kochavim o lichutza la'aretz. I have an Evikanani, and I sell him. And I sell him either to a goy, or I sell him to another Jew who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yotza lecheres. Now that Evikanani now goes free, meaning I did no good. Number one, if I sell him to a non-Jew, I really did no good because he now being an Evikanani, he's chayv mitzvahs. And now I put him in a state where his owner is going to expect him to work on Shabbos. Okay, that's no good. I sell him to somebody who's living outside of Eretz Yisrael. I also did him no good. He had the opportunity, right, the privilege to live in Eretz Yisrael, and now I sold him to somebody who doesn't. No good. As a kenas, as a penalty, he now is going to go free. We're going to force the owner. In this case, when we say owner, we mean the purchaser to free him. Now, chada hadre zvina v'chada lo hadre zvini. Now, interesting. In one of these scenarios, the sale is just simply no sale, meaning money's returned. In another one of these scenarios, the money is actually exchanged. Veloya dana hai mine. And Rav Anan says, I don't know which one is which. Of these two scenarios, the sale of land in Yovel and the sale of an Evikanani to a non-Jew, one of them, in both of those scenarios, it's no good. But in one of those scenarios, the money's returned. And another one of those scenarios, the money is not returned. Okay, now, which one is which? Now, I know the time is late. Yeah, I'll tell you what. We'll pause over here. Tomorrow, remind me, please, we start with Rashi. Because Rashi makes a number of exceptional points, which is really just necessary to understand the Gemara.